Welcome to Transformation with Martinet. Conquer everything and compromise nothing. This show brings you real, raw, and vulnerable conversations. If you have never liked small talk and have been on a personal growth journey for a long time, stay tuned as Martinet and her guests share empowering stories. Now is the time to own your past and look toward your future with hope. Believe in your dreams, and all that you want to achieve is possible. Transformation coach Martinet helps you accept and love you for you. It's time to listen to your heart and tap into your unlimited potential. You have the answers you need inside. Sometimes you just need the right guide to help allow transformation to happen. Transformation with Martinet starts now.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Transformation with Martinet, where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. Happy Friday. And for those of you that celebrated, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. For those of you that are unfamiliar with my show, it is every Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. And this show is about hope. The guests that I invite on my show have stories of overcoming, of great success from tremendous struggles. And as I said, this show is about hope and the resiliency of the human spirit. And I want everybody to know that no matter what, you can get through it. You can get back up. You can put that car in drive again and just get going. So without further ado, I want to welcome my guest today, a new friend, George Gonzalez. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here today.
Absolutely. Yay. I don't know about you, but there is something magical about Fridays, even if you are an entrepreneur. There just is something nice about Fridays.
I treat every day the same way. I think I can do a lot of things in each day. Mm-hmm. If I need to take a break, I just take a break regardless of what day it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, and I'm grateful to make my own schedule, but Fridays are still just, I don't know, it's just kind of,
They're still special.
Yeah, just relax and kind of go into a weekend. And even though I'm one of those people that is like working almost all the time, it still is nice just to know that, oh, okay, it's more of a relaxed pace of work and I can calm my crazy self down a bit.
Exactly.
So tell me, George, how did you get into this world of helping others, of, oh gosh, just forging a life that is fulfilling and means something to you?
You know, I've going all the way back to my early teens, I've always felt like I was always giving. And I've always had people like come towards me. And it's almost like we were magnetized, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people that would come to me, they were going through some stuff. You know, I mean, I went through some stuff as well too as an early teen, but it's like the younger people behind me, they were always asking me stuff. They were always looking at me for like safety, protection, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I've always had like that. I had like this nurturing part of me. And of course, I was still a kid, so I didn't know what that was, you know? And as I grow older, I realized that I was always a giver of comfort mm-hmm. in some way, shape, or form. Like, it's going to be okay. Like, don't worry about that. You know, if I made it through this, you're going to be okay. And as I got older and I was going through more difficult things, the things got even more in depth. And it made me realize, wait a minute, I think I'm special. And I think that God has a purpose for me. I mean, I don't know what that looks like yet because I'm young, but yeah. I know when the time is right, it's going to expose itself to me and it's going to, you know, let me know that this is what I'm supposed to do. So I've been doing this my entire life. And now, of course, I'm doing it at a bigger scale, especially because of my book, the things that I've gone through that I talk about in my book. So mm-hmm. I think I've always been like this.
Yeah. Was there a point, like, I know for me, it's like I have said this many times on the show. There was just a point really where in the depths of really being hurt as a kid, but there was always just like, I always pictured myself in this like cave kind of thing. And then just like these like lights, like I could just see God, like just a presence. And I knew like you, I would do mm-hmm. something with this, even though I didn't really understand what was going on or why I had to go through this, but I knew that it was for a reason. What point did you realize that?
the thing that really confused me and almost frightened me a little bit when I was young is that I used to get like this knowing of things, and I don't know if I was making it up or whatnot. And then I would get like visions of things, and I'm like, am I just making stuff up, or what's going on here? But then part of me told me, no, I think I'm special. But this was before anyone really talked about that. And I'm sure that I talked to some family members about it and they discarded it. So then I discarded it too. Mm-hmm. But like I said, as I grew older, I realized, wait a minute, why am I seeing these things almost like if they're either they happened already or they're going to happen? Mm-hmm. And clearly they hadn't happened yet because I was young, but I would see myself almost like in later years doing certain things. Yeah. And then it started making sense to me. Wait a minute. I wonder if that's the potential life. If I'm obedient on certain things and I listen to certain things, I react in a certain way, or I don't react in a certain way, it'll get me to that position. Mm-hmm. And I started keeping more of the things to myself because people didn't want to hear it or understand it.
Right.
And because they were getting the same thing I was getting. But that really, like you said, like the light stuff, that's the stuff that was happening to me. And it frightened me at first until I accepted it and I embraced it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it reminds me of an exercise that I will do with clients, and the name of it doesn't matter, but there is a point like where you talk to your wiser, older self. Did it kind of feel like that? Like a part of you that was just like telling you, hey, keep going with this. It's going to turn out to be like this, which of course is a little one. You're learning what the heck is going on. Yeah. But was it something like that? Like just this guidance from...
It was definitely a little similar to that. Mm-hmm. But when I was 19 years old, I was working at a company that they did video recordings and distribution for all the major motion pictures. Mm-hmm. And what we used to do is that we used to watch all the movies. I used to quality control the movies. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until that I was 19 that I also looked at the previews of a movie leading into the release of the movie that I saw it different. I said, wait a minute, the previews talking about the actual film, mm-hmm. the whole film. So I connected that to the previews that I was getting. I was like, wait a minute. So is that what I'm being almost guided, that that's what the future picture is going to look like for me? Right. Because even when I saw that, I was a little older at times. In some cases, I was a lot older on the previews that I was watching in my mind. Mm-hmm. So that's when I made that connection. Like, okay, this is the preview to the movie. So this is the preview to my life. But I was already like in my 19, 20, 20s when I really started to really understand it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That's really interesting. Like an interesting way to be shown like what's to come.
I saw myself on stage before I ever went on stage. Uh-huh. I saw myself in front of a lot of people before I was even in front of a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I saw myself on stage and my daughter being in the audience. And in 2021, after I wrote my book, I was on stage and my daughter was on my audience on my first speaking event that I did. Mm-hmm. So I saw that before I even wrote the book. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean. So I'm getting previews. So when I tell people, listen to your thoughts, especially if they're positive, if they're going to be something additional value to your life. Anything that's negative, don't listen to that. Discard that. That's not who you are. That's not who you're going to be. Only the positive stuff. And use it as a preview, as a potential of what your life could be if you make certain decisions. And of course, if you make certain decisions that have consequences, you're not going to get that. So be very, very cautious of what you do.
Oh yeah. Your thoughts are everything. You know, it's really interesting. I don't know. I mean, like what you're talking about sounds like the law of attraction to me, you know, basically thoughts become things and, you know, that kind of thing. I find it interesting. I have been, I'm more of like a, cause I'm from California. So
I live in
ocean
California.
Waves. Yeah. Ocean waves are, I love it. I'm a Michigan transplant now for almost 12 years. But since I moved here, I have been thinking about and visualizing a lake house, you know, having a lake house. But California prices are amazingly high. But if you want a lake house here, you're talking at least $500,000. Mm-hmm. We signed on a lake house today. And it's not $500,000. And I've been thinking about it for a long time, and it's taken a few years to manifest here, but it's here, and I never thought I could have it. And isn't that amazing when you really think about things that could happen? And like you said, watching your thoughts and really being kind of precise about them and putting yourself in it, like you'd be putting yourself on the stage, seeing your daughter there watching you, putting yourself in these spaces that you want to be in, the clients that you want to work with, putting yourself in there and putting every little detail and getting excited about it. It's amazing what can happen.
It's like you said, it's I call it, I tell people it's magical.
Oh, God.
Is what I tell
yes.
people all the time. It's like magical. That's a, what? It's true. It's magical.
100%.
If you make these things happen, it's magic. It's magical. Mm-hmm. God gave you this opportunity.
Yeah.
And you went for it. You listened to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing I don't think people understand sometimes is that you really have to like feel into it, and you have to seeing yourself happen and being excited and feel all those feelings that you would feel. And then that really, it brings it to fruition. And if it may not look exactly like you thinking, like this situation exactly the way I thought, but it's pretty cool. And I always think when I try to manifest things or anything like that is like this or better. Your will, your way, God, this or better. Yeah.
Yeah, it's when like I said, when I wrote the book, I thought about writing a book 25 years ago,
mm-hmm.
because there was certain stories in there that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And during the pandemic, during COVID, when everything was shut down, I got this feeling that hugged me that said, it's time to write the book. And I'm like, wait a minute, this almost doesn't make any sense. Everything's shut down. And then it grabbed me again, and it gave me the peace that I needed to make that decision to write it. And had I not wrote it, there's a lot of things that would have not happened. But because I was obedient and I wrote it, and a lot of doors started opening, and I've been able to help a lot of people with the message of Answer the Call.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure in the talk that we had before, whether we talked about this or not, but don't you feel lately like it doesn't matter what's being called on your heart? Like you really can't deny it.
You can't.
No.
If you deny what's in your heart and you're what you're being guided to do and told to do, you'd be disobeying what you're supposed to become.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when life really gets hard.
Yeah.
Because you're going against your own persona, your own mm-hmm. identity, your own, the person that you were meant to become, you're going against that. So it's going to be very, very painful until we get back into position, is what I've seen.
I agree with that. It's like, it's going to keep gnawing and gnawing and gnawing and gnawing until you listen. And, you know, it's scary, but you step into that scary. Oh man, what a life that you can have. And it seems like even just this year has shown me that so much, shown my clients that so much. So we are going to take a break, but we'll go into your book in a little bit, but where can people find you right now just to learn about you?
They can find me on social media, specifically on Instagram at my name, mm-hmm. George_V_Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, everybody, we'll be back in just a little bit with more conversations with George. Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martine, where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is George Gonzalez, and we're talking about soul's purpose, about being set up in our life where events happen, and it leads us to a place that is sometimes kind of scary, but we know that we need to fulfill because it's our soul's journey, it's our soul's purpose. So, George, you mentioned that you've gone through quite a bit of things in your life, as I have, as most people have. Is there a particular story that led you to know that, hey, people are being drawn to me, people are coming to my life, I'm a bit of a counselor to people? Is there a particular event that led you to be like, hey, I got to do this?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things that happened to me that I think were meant to happen to me that positioned me in really accepting that and really harnessing that. And when I first learned that my grandfather, when he migrated to the United States from Mexico during World War II under this work agreement that was called the Bracero Program, when the Americans would fight in the war, they asked Mexico to provide laborers. And when I heard that story of my grandfather, it humbled me. It made me emotional because I believe that that was such a huge sacrifice to leave his country. And I always thought, wait a minute, if I ever get a chance to talk about this, I want to talk about this to like a lot of people. But I didn't really know what that looked like. Yeah. And then also another event that happened to me that when my daughter was 45 years, when my father was 45, he was given 6 months to live. And the doctor asked me to tell him that. And when I told him that and we walked out of the doctor's office, it's like something came to me. It's like, this story has to be told. The consequences of substance abuse, the abuse and the collateral damage of a family, of what the pain that you're going to endure because of it, that story has to be told. Mm-hmm. And that was a stronger feeling than the first emotional story that got me. But for 23, 24 years, nothing really happened until the pandemic, when I was called to write the book. And I said, wait a minute. So I'm getting this feeling that I'm trying to discard, but I'm holding on to it. This is an opportunity to talk about these two stories that I've always wanted to talk about because I believe they can change a lot of lives and they can do a lot of good to a lot of people, you know, because a lot of people have forgotten who they are and where they come from. And a lot of people have succumbed to substance problems. And then when they see the end of the road, they don't want to die, just like my father didn't. And then the pain of the family that they have to endure. I want to talk about these stories. And when I wrote the book and I really started sharing the stories and I had all this positive feedback from different people, I knew that, wait a minute, this is it. This is what I've been feeling my entire life. This is what I felt that I was being called to many, many, many years ago. But I knew it didn't make sense yet because I was still a kid. I was still young.
Right.
But now as an adult, I was able to connect all the pieces together going all the way to my childhood, almost like I was given authorization to connect these things. And it all makes sense. And people told me that because of my stories and my content and my book and me speaking on speaking engagements, that they didn't commit suicide. And they have family members with substance problems. And now they know how to have conversations because the things that I talked about and how I never was able to have that conversation because I was too afraid to confront my father. When in reality, that fear should have been overpowered by the love that I had for my father and have a conversation. So now I'm telling people, have those conversations if you want them to be here with you. Because I no longer have that ability to have the conversation, to talk them out of it, or at least attempt to help them. Right. So those are some of the things that were really impactful and really changed my life forever.
Wow. It's amazing too, just what we can share. Like you said, that somebody may not have ended their life because of a story that you told. And one of the things that my coaches, you know, it really got me to wanting to start share, not only like in a show like this, but just start sharing my own stories, is that you never know who you're going to touch and who you might save, and that our stories really aren't for us anyway.
Yeah. I truly believe that. I believe that anything that comes to me that I learn, that I see, like sometimes I write poetry and a lot of motivational quotes. I can keep them for self, but if I keep them for self, they don't get to impact lives.
Right.
So if you put it in my heart, and if you put it in my mind, that means he wants me to share it. I would be doing him a disservice if I keep that to myself and then I pass away and I take all this stuff with me, when it could have been impactful to other people. And that's the part that I wouldn't be able to live with myself with.
That, exactly. You know, and it's just like we were talking about before. It's like, if we don't answer those calls, it's dishonoring God. It's dishonoring ourselves by not following through with that. And yeah, things are scary, but you feel pretty good about yourself and seeing others being impacted, that it makes it all worth it. All that fear worth it.
I've had a lot of people like really get bothered by the things that I talk about. But the people that I'm able to impact and touch, it overpowers the negative.
Yes.
Because even I, like you said earlier, if we can save one person at a time,
mm-hmm.
and then that kind of duplicates itself. Yeah. And then we make such an impact to them that then all of a sudden they feel called to also share their stories and the things mm-hmm. that they overcome. So yeah. now we didn't only touch one person, we touch a duplication of people.
Yep.
And yep. that's powerful, extremely powerful.
Yeah. Yep. Gives people permission to share.
Yes.
And that they're not alone. Yeah. Yeah. So you did write a book. What's the name?
The book is called Answer the Call.
Yeah, I love that.
But I wasn't going to call it Answer the Call. I was going to call it American Inventor because I'm also an inventor.
Mm-hmm.
But the day that I was finalizing the title on the phone with my publishing company, I heard the most powerful, sweetest voice. And this wasn't the first time I've heard this voice.
Yeah.
And it said, Answer the Call. And then I heard it a second time, Answer the Call. So then I spoke it out loud. And I said, Answer the Call. And my publishing company said, George, what was that? That's the name of the book. Where did you get that from? It was just whispered to me right now. And they're like, okay, we're scrapping American Inventor and we're going with Answer the Call. And that's what we went with. And 2 weeks later, I didn't even know what that meant. But 2 weeks later, it came to me that Answer the Call is about finding your gifts, your talents, and pursuing your life purpose. That's what Answer the Call means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that would make more, that would make sense with regards to the American Inventor, you know, because it's like you can do anything, but yeah. Answer the Call definitely calls me in more, you know, to look at it. Yeah.
American Inventor was more for self.
Mm-hmm.
Answer the Call is for huge masses amount of people.
Yeah.
Because we're all being called to answer the call in our life. We're all being called to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more time to waste. We live in such an ugly society that we need people to tap into their gifts, their talents, mm-hmm. and pursue their life's purpose. Now, it's going to look different for everybody. Some people are going to go into some new careers. They're going to start new businesses. They might even walk a calling in their life that doesn't look normal to the normal person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to look different for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all, yeah, for sure. Even when we're doing something, like it may not make sense to other people, but it doesn't really have to. It only has to make sense for the ones that need it, you know, that need our information.
There's many people around me still that think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Because of what I do.
Right.
Because I do a lot of stuff for free.
Mm-hmm.
I speak for free. I mentor and coach people for free.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, why aren't you charging people for this? Because it's a message that I'm sharing. And when the time is right, God is going to feed me with my gifts, with my talent, and with my calling on my life.
Right.
And now I'm being reached out for speaking engagements. So that will be different.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the stuff that I'm doing, it's Answer the Call is not my message. That's God's message. So I can't charge for that. So I also offer a free copy of my book on Kindle mm-hmm. Unlimited as a free version. There's also an online version and a paperback version, but I'm always promoting the free version. Now, mm-hmm. if somebody were to buy the other versions, that would mean that God puts something in their heart to purchase that one. But I'm providing the free version is what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And in, you know, over time, especially like you start making more money. I noticed that even on my own journey, like, yeah, I haven't made a lot of money actually until recently. And it's still not a lot of money. I mean, to most people, but you know, it's good to me. And the more that you will, the more that you can even do for people, you know, it just seems to work out in the way it's supposed to and in a beautiful way. My dad is, the way he says things is not always so pleasant or whatever, but he's often said to me like, you know, well, good thing your husband makes money because, you know, like you don't kind of thing. And it's like, but I do good work. I do good services. I help people. And yeah, it's not a lot of money or hasn't been, but it's worth it to me to be able to help and support. And God blesses me by having some of my needs met already so that I can do that. And then it's coming around now as my business grows. I am starting to make the money, but my dad's not my, he's not my ideal person to work with or anything.
Correct. Yeah. Dad. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get so much fulfillment from doing what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what most of us strive for, is fulfillment.
Yeah.
It's not the material stuff and the money and stuff like that. Of course, yes, we need to pay our bills and
we do.
Put a roof overhead, and that's okay. But mm-hmm. as far as fulfillment, a lot of people lack that. And once you find that, God will open the doors for you to feed yourself,
mm-hmm.
because you're doing, you're serving other people.
Yeah.
And we're saving, connecting, and really having people tap into themselves and who mm-hmm. they are as individuals, because we're supposed to be here to serve.
Yeah.
If you really want to make an impact, create a product and provide a service.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be serving. And at some point, that product or that service will pay you many mm-hmm. dividends way over and over again.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're all looking for. That's what we're all looking for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what is the, we just have a minute before we go to break. But what is, actually just give us a quick little thing of what is the basis of your book, and then we'll continue in the next.
The basis of the book is foundation, influence, faith, mm-hmm. struggles, reinventing yeah. oneself,
mm-hmm.
and really following your life's purpose. That's what my book is really about.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So we're going to take a break, everyone, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about our purpose and leading a fulfilling life. Really, that's what it's about, and serving others in the process. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back in just a moment. Good. Are you producing, Esther, next? Okay. Oh, Jessica. Okay, cool. All right. Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is George Gonzalez, and we are talking about, right now, his book, Answer the Call, and just finding a fulfilling life. We are not meant to just get up, get the kids to school, go to work, come home, make dinner, go to bed. There is so much more to life. And if we are living our purpose, it every day should feel magical and good. Like, we go through struggles, we have hard times, but there's supposed to be joy in every day, no matter what is going on. So, George, tell us, you've got really good chapters in your book. Which one stands out the most that people need to hear about?
They're all amazing chapters, amazing stories, but I think what's important is the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the foundation is, again, when my grandfather sacrificed his sacrifice and my grandmother's sacrifice, because they had barely gotten married.
Mm-hmm.
They had a child that was one and one that was a newborn. And then my grandfather having to make that sacrifice to migrate to the United States during World War II. That right there, I utilized it as a foundation of everything that I was going to build to mm-hmm. honor him, his legacy, because I believe that that was his legacy. And I want to build my legacy on top of his firm foundation that him and my grandmother mm-hmm. built for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it's definitely my grandfather, my father's journey with alcoholism and the destruction that substance abuse does on our society, on families, and wreaks havoc on family values or whatnot. And that is extremely sad and destructive for any family.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where people start to get, you know, have traumatic events and childhood trauma. And that carries on to relationships and whatnot. And then that passes on to the children. So those things I talk about, and I believe that those two are the most impactful as far as this, the consequences that they may have if you don't address them and utilize them as somewhat of a foundation to build your life on.
Right. Absolutely. Foundation is everything from what we build upon. Yeah. Yeah. So when you think about your foundation and
how you were brought up and the stories, your grandfather and all this, like, I guess how it, what I'm going at, I guess, is like, how would you suggest somebody starts to build, especially if they've come from alcoholism, especially if they've come from traumatic history?
Well, we all have a choice to utilize our pain as destructive or as a remembrance to what we went through. Mm-hmm. And we promise that we are never going to allow anyone that encounters us to ever feel that kind of pain ever. So we will be the protector of that pain. So we can use it in two forms. Now, my brother, we live the same life, the same household, mm-hmm. and yet our hearts are different. He utilized some of the circumstances that we went through, and he let pain and anger and those negative thoughts consume him. Mm-hmm. So he's traveling on a different path versus me. I saw them the same thing. We both saw the same thing, but I accepted them differently. I utilized them differently. And I said, I'm never going to treat people this way. I'm never going to be an alcoholic. I'm never going to use this as a protection mechanism to not open up my heart. I'm going to open up my heart. I'm going to keep my heart pure. So we managed it differently, but mm-hmm. we live in the same household and we experience the same things. So we have a choice. Are we going to use it to be destructive, or are we going to use it to become positive and do a positive impact on the world? So mm-hmm. it's going to be a choice. And I just hope that people lean more on the pure heart side. Keep your heart pure. Do whatever you got to do to keep that heart pure, because your impact would be much more magnificent and beautiful and fulfilling if you use it for that purpose.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that is something I've even like tried to impart on my kids or whatever when they're struggling, or my clients as well. It's like, you can let that circumstance eat you up, or you can look at what it can teach you. Because boy, I think a lot of times, and I've heard even like popular pastors, popular speakers or anything, like if you can just turn to that pain and just say, okay, how can I use this for my greater good, for future endeavors, for future everything? What can I learn from this? And sometimes it's amazing, just the next thing that comes along, if you have tuned in, like, oh wow, okay, I know how to handle this now because this happened. I've already been through this. I've got evidence I can get through it. And here's are the steps to get through it because I've already been there. It's pretty amazing if you can use, turn those lessons into blessings.
I've told many people this before, that I do feel the anger. I grab onto the anger, mm-hmm. but I put it in a box. Mm. And I have the key. I'm the only one that has that key. Yeah. I'm the only one that has the power to open up that key and bring it out, to use it to scale me somewhere. Yeah. But then I grab it back and I put it back in that box and I lock it up again. But there's people that they don't have it with the lock box. It's mm-hmm. open and anything triggers them. We have to be able to pick our battles and use that, because it's still energy, but use it for something good, not something bad, to maybe demean somebody, say mean things to people or hurt people. Mm-hmm. Don't use it for that. Use it as energy to push you when you need it most, like at the gym, at a run, or mm-hmm. when you're sick and you need strength to get up. Use it for that, for some positive things, not some negative things.
Yes, absolutely. And like you said a little bit ago, we have a choice.
We have a choice.
How we're going to use it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So foundations, what next?
I got to brag a little bit about my daughter.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's 24 years old. She just graduated mm-hmm. from Long Beach University last year. And she's my best friend. Mm-hmm. And the way I raised her to become a better version of me, smarter, mm-hmm. wiser, and more successful. Yeah. And she just got a job with LA Galaxy, you know, in their marketing team. Yeah. And I'm learning from her now. She's now she's my inspiration. So first I was her inspiration. Now she's my inspiration. I'm learning from her. There's things that she also tackles. And I use that. I'm like, well, if my daughter's not giving up, I'm not giving up either.
Yeah.
Because I'm a warrior. I'm supposed to be a warrior.
Yeah.
So if my baby's not giving up, I mean, what's my excuse? I'm not giving up. I'm a warrior.
Yeah. You know?
So I draw from her inspiration as well, too. And I have a chapter in my book that talks about my daughter's early successes as well. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, not college, because she wasn't in. I didn't talk about that yet in the book, but leading up to that point. So it's just, she's my teacher now, and I'm learning from her. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. So it's a great inspiration. And I think a lot of us could do that, is raise our children in a certain way and then admire them for who they're becoming. And then, mm-hmm. wait a minute, I can actually learn. I can use this in my life now.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody as a parent should have that as an inspiration to say, I want to be able to learn things from my children.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're also so wise.
They are.
If we don't discard what they come up with and we just take a step back, you're like, oh my God, they have the ability to tap into something magical.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be there to experience that magical things that they're going to be creating. Because they are, if we give them a chance, just like we allowed ourselves and gave ourselves a chance as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think like what you're saying, that's really, our kids can definitely teach us. And I think I've learned a lot from all of mine, and just to be a better person by watching them. And my oldest has been through some really tough challenges lately. And she just turned 25. And some of the things I've seen her doing, just rising up, you know, above some of the tough stuff, and just creating things for herself, and just what she's willing to do, even just to move forward, amazes me. I'm like, ah, oh, that's my girl.
Yeah.
Warrior girl. I mean, it's like, okay, this is good. And even though it's like, I feel for her and a lot of what she's going through, but she's also showing me that, hey, mom, I got this. It's powerful to see.
I have so much faith in God. Mm-hmm. And I have so much faith in how I raised my daughter,
mm-hmm.
to know that my daughter is going to be okay. Yeah. And my daughter is going to go through a journey that I also may not understand. Like, many people don't understand my journey. And I know there's going to be times where it's not easy, but that's their journey. And there's a lesson that they're going to learn there.
Yeah.
And but when they ask for help, and then we see they need help, and just being there whenever they need it, just to lift them and then take a step back again so they can go and get it, you know, go ahead and continue on their journey and their process, mm-hmm. of becoming. I think that a lot of people want to control, mm-hmm. but that's not what they're looking for.
Yeah.
They're just looking for support when they need it. They want to be able to look back and say, okay, daddy's got me if something happens, but I'm good.
Yeah.
And then they also have faith in God. But if something gets dangerous, I know God's got me too. So I got, God's got me, my daddy's got me, I'm good. So I can really focus on it and really go on in on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just having, being there for support is extremely important as a young teen, adult, you know, child. It's really important. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot of support. So I have to make sure that I am the support that my daughter needs that I didn't have.
Yeah.
So let's use those experiences and be a part of theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, there's things that I sure wouldn't wish that I happened to me wish on anybody. Yes. Yet I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I am grateful because I know it taught me to be a better parent. It taught me to look for certain things, you know, and I am grateful for absolutely everything I went through just because I know it made me a better parent. And I'm sure as heck not perfect, but I know that I've definitely put my best in there, and I apologize a lot.
And being able to have that conversation, knowing that that lesson was so powerful,
mm-hmm.
and somebody else could benefit from that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes people aren't ready to hear that, you know, that you you know, going through something for a reason or whatever, they might not be ready to hear that. But I know that's part of just what has made me, I don't know, forgive, to have more understanding of why things happen to me, is so that, well, I can understand and I can relate, and I can share a story and make somebody feel like they're not alone. So, yeah. Yeah. So we're going to take a break, everyone, and we'll be back with our final thoughts and where you can get George's book. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be back in a moment. Absolutely ready. Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is George Gonzalez, and we have been talking about answering the call. That's the name of his book, and just having a good foundation and living our life's purpose so that we can be fulfilled, so that we can really accomplish our soul's journey. So, George, what would you say is a what is something that you want people to be left with, and where can they find your book?
You know, I want people to not only understand but believe that they are special, mm-hmm. and that their life has meaning. We are all going to go through a journey, but the journey is needed for the lessons that we have to gather along the way, and for it to mold us and forge us into the person that we're meant to become. Mm-hmm. And that we all have a gift, that we all have a talent, and we definitely all have a life's purpose. Mm-hmm. And but unfortunately, society has downplayed our gifts and talents and called them hobbies. But for a lot of people, their hobby is their gift, mm-hmm. and is their talent. A lot of people do sculpturing with their hobbies. Is what they call it. Mm-hmm. Some people write music. Some people are artists, poets, you know, things of those natures. Those are gifts. If you have the courage to really, and the means to put them out there to the world and really showcase these things, they'll see that that was what God always intended them to do. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to see, like, I go to a small little Mexican restaurant somewhere, and I'll see like a painting on the wall of somebody that's not known, but the painting is so beautiful, and paintings talk to us. They talk to our mm-hmm. soul. So I can see that. I'm like, oh my God, this painting is talking to me.
Yeah.
And this is somebody that's not even known. So just having the courage to put those stuff out there, send them to music and whatever you feel be called to do, follow that. Mm-hmm. And because we only have one life to live. Mm-hmm. And I can promise you this, that if you do follow that, you will find fulfillment. Mm-hmm. I promise you that.
Yeah, absolutely. If you keep up with it and keep believing in yourself. I actually wrote about that today. He's like, sometimes success takes longer for people. It has for me. But I'm finally seeing like the fruits of it. And not only is monetarily is getting better, but just the fact that I know I've made a difference. And if you can just keep going in what you know is absolutely right, your life can change completely.
I mean, what are we going to be remembered for? Mm-hmm. And also, are you leaving a legacy? How is your family going to remember you?
Yes,
like
exactly.
When I wrote my book, I wanted it to reach at least 3 to 4 generations of my family. Mm-hmm. Well, in my book, I talk about my grandfather, I talk about me, I talk about my dad and my daughter. Mm-hmm. That's 4 generations. That means me reaching 3 to 4 generations after me is mm-hmm. not far-fetched. I get to tell them about what we went through as a family with my grandfather, my dad, myself, and my daughter. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that impacts them in such a way where they also can follow their gifts and talents and also pursue their life purpose so they can serve other people. Mm-hmm. And that will be the legacy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So where can everybody find your book? And what would you tell somebody that's just starting on a new journey?
I would tell them, don't discard your past.
Mm-hmm.
Utilize it for your benefit. Utilize it for good. And grab mm-hmm. some of that relatable experience that you're going to need going forward. Because I assure you, there's a lot of it you can utilize. Everything that I'm doing right now, I'm utilizing everything that I've ever gone through, everything that I've ever experienced, anything career-wise that I've ever learned, leadership skills and whatnot. I'm bringing that forward and I'm using it as I'm mentoring, coaching people and motivate and inspire people. So utilize mm-hmm. that. And the, people can also find me and on Instagram under my name at mm-hmm. George_V_Gonzalez. And if you go mm-hmm. to my bio, you can actually download a free copy of my book from Kindle Unlimited. There's a free version there. And I'm just wanting to promote the free version because I want people to have possession of the message. It's not my message. It's God's message of answering mm-hmm. the call.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And just for anybody who doesn't like see it on screen right now, if you are actually listening on Spotify or something, when you're listening on Spotify and not watching that, his name is George, George. Yeah. So you can find it easier. So like when you meet people and you get into discussions, do you feel like, because you mentioned this in the beginning and it's kind of been the same for me, like that people are just kind of drawn to you still yes. at this age as you were and younger?
Yes. Yeah. They tell me, do I know you?
Mm-hmm.
There's something about you,
uh-huh.
but I come to understand that it's not me. It's not me who they recognize and who they feel is like, who are you? It's what's mm-hmm. inside of me.
Yeah.
You know, because God is so engraved in my heart and in my soul that they sense that nurturing, giving aspect of him because he lives within me.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see that, I tell them, well, it's not me. It's what's inside of me. It's what's in my heart. It's what's engraved in my heart. And then we get into mm-hmm. a conversation. And then I talk that I'm an author and I talk about the book. And then they say, what does answer the call mean? Because mm-hmm. that it grabs them.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes it makes them emotional. And I can see their eyes started getting watery because mm-hmm. it triggers them.
Yeah.
You know? So but it humbles me that God is using me as that vessel
mm-hmm.
to be able to reach the people that we're supposed to reach together and using me for that. So mm-hmm. I'm extremely humble, but now I understand it. And before I didn't understand it and it would almost freak me out. I was like, why are people staring at me before, you know? And I would get upset by it, but a little freaked out about it. Like, why is everybody looking at me?
Yeah.
But now I know exactly why it is. And I embrace it now. I accept it now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of cool that God chose us for these each individual purposes and how we can come together and serve.
Yeah. And I want to also be crystal clear that it's just not me and you. There's a lot of people that are being called.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of people that people stare at that they don't know why they're staring at them because there's something within them. There's something, a potential in them that they might not even recognize yet. But the moment they recognize it, it's going to make sense to them. Oh my God, this is what George was talking about.
Uh-huh.
This is what they were talking about. It was that gift that I was supposed to share with the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really gravitating to these individuals.
Yeah,
it was not me. I'm just the vessel. And that's when it becomes magical and even more adventurous.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. What would you think if, what would you be doing if you weren't doing this work chasing that would money? Feel fulfilling too?
I would be chasing money.
Yeah.
I would be chasing money. I would want to move up in the scales of business and entrepreneurship or whatnot.
Yeah.
And because that's what I was doing before I got hurt. And I talk about this in my book. I got hurt and it pushed me into this,
mm-hmm.
you know, becoming a real estate agent and then publishing my book. So I would have been chasing money. That uh-huh. was not fulfilling. This is fulfilling.
Yeah, it is fulfilling. Absolutely. Knowing that you've made a difference. I mean, I love seeing the light bulbs go on. I love seeing breakthrough. I've said there's nothing better to me than that. And just being able to be comfort to someone, just being there just to show somebody that even if they can't believe how wonderful they are, I can see it. And I'll believe in you until you believe in you.
I've had so many instances where it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Made a huge difference to people.
Yeah.
Or even a hug and not say anything.
Yeah.
People need that.
Mm-hmm.
So for us that are givers, that's what they get from us when we share stories and we try to motivate and inspire them and help them out certain circumstances. It's like us telling them it's going to be okay. And mm-hmm. they feel the hug when we talk to them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
a beautiful thing.
It is beautiful. Absolutely. Yeah. Any final little message before we close out our show?
I just want people to believe in themselves and believe that they are special, and whatever God, our creator, is telling you, is putting in your heart, is allowing you the privilege to see in your mind, listen to that. Don't discard it. You're not crazy.
Yeah.
You're special. Mm-hmm. And once you make the decision to follow that, your life is going to change and you will be fulfilled.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, I wish you a wonderful holidays, and I wish everybody wonderful holidays coming up. Christmas season is upon us. And so reach out to George if he can be of assistance to you. Reach out to me if I can be of assistance to you as well. And we'll see you next Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for tuning in to Transformation with Martinet. Real, raw, and vulnerable conversations. Listen or watch live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. As Martinet and her guests have deep, meaningful conversations, sharing empowering stories. Step into your passions and lead with your heart. If you are ready to accept and love you for you, visit martinetemmons.com and start allowing transformation to happen today.